VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be revisiting the continued influx of LGBT indoctrination and, I will say, exploitation into our society. Now, I've sometimes heard from individuals who ask, why do you keep addressing this gay thing? After all, adultery is a sin and stealing is a sin. Why don't you emphasize those things like you do homosexuality? Well, one of the key reasons for this is due to the proliferation of homosexuality and those who are seeking to normalize it. It is true that adultery is also a sin. It's also a sin of stealing, but I don't see an adultery pride flag or a push in education to teach the positive impact of adulterers in our culture. I don't see pressure being placed on governors and state legislators to have Adultery Pride Month. I don't see an adultery caucus in the Congress. I don't see libraries having adultery story hours for preschool children. I don't see school assemblies promoting adultery or thievery as being normal and healthy. Just be who you are, you know. I see gangs, but I don't see youth clubs being raised up to bring together other people who steal and have safe zones for them in the schools. I don't see professional sports teams holding adulterer pride nights at their stadiums with special giveaways. I don't see communities passing ordinances to ban conversion therapy on adulterers who want to stay faithful to their spouse or to thieves who question whether or not they should be stealing. I mean, I could go on and on, but I think you get the point. There's this mass coordinated effort to take what God has called an abomination and seek to somehow normalize this. Joining us today to discuss a number of significant issues, we welcome back Peter LaBarbera. Peter is the president of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. His organization is a nonpartisan educational group dedicated to exposing the homosexual, bisexual, transgender activist agendas. Peter, thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for the opportunity.
Peter, we've got a lot to talk about today, and let's begin with all of these reports coming out recently on what's being known as the gay gene study. What was this all about? What were the results? Was a gay gene discovered?
No gay gene, Jim. I guess we could say part 10, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you and I have been doing this a long time, and how many efforts have we seen shot down that sought to achieve the goal of finding genetic homosexuality? It was ludicrous from the start. It always fails. But the significance of this, Jim, is this is the largest study ever, which destroys it. What they found, this was, I think, approaching 500,000 DNA samples. I can't remember the exact number, Jim. You might have it there.
Yeah, it was just over 403,000 participants from the UK, US, and Sweden.
Yes, studying DNA, they found no gay gene, no single gene, and what they ended up saying was, well, there's probably a cluster of genetic influences and environmental influences. Well, you could say that about anything, Jim. Mm-hmm. You could say that about somebody's artistic and somebody's not artistic. But what this did was it, once and for all, put the nail in the coffin of the gay gene. And what is so interesting about this study, the lengths they went, we're talking the research, and I believe the lead researcher was a homosexual, the lengths they went to pamper the LGBTQ groups and said, look, we don't want this to harm you, and they brought them in and they had them do commentaries, and the researcher said that somehow that homosexuality was natural and normal, even though that had nothing at all to do with the subject of the study. There were reports that were saying that homosexuality was natural and normal, and that wasn't even the focus of the study.
Right.
So they really went beyond the pale in trying to cushion the blow for the LGBTQ lobby, but the fact is that this kills it, the gay gene, and what that means is people are responsible for their sexual behavior, or in this case, misbehavior.
Yes, and Peter, again, I believe it's very important to point this out, because this was the purpose was to discover this gay gene. When it didn't come about, then it's okay. So how do we change the narrative of this? I mean, we've got the media putting their spin on this, indicating that somehow this still must be caused by genetics. Even the Wall Street Journal, Peter, had this headline: "Genetics tied to same-sex behavior." And what's learned through, and Robert Knight wrote a piece on this, but he points out in his commentary that researchers worked with several advocacy and alliance groups like Sense About Science and GLAAD, that's a Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, and received feedback on the science and how to best communicate the findings. You know, Peter, it's like, forget the truth. How do you want us to present this information? To me, it's an exploitation of the public.
It sure is, Jim. It was really like it was fascinating, because on the one hand, it destroyed the idea of a so-called gay gene. On the other hand, it was really a spin operation in support of the LGBTQ lobby. And, Jim, we can't just blame the media, because they were quoting the researcher who himself, now this is an open homosexual, who was saying, I believe, something to the effect that homosexuality is natural and normal. Well, that's his opinion, that's his political opinion, his cultural opinion, but that has nothing to do with science, and that wasn't even the focus of the study, and yet you saw reports reporting that, quoting him essentially, and so you would think that some aspect of the study found that homosexuality was natural and normal, when that was nothing to do with the study.
So, Peter, is this issue over and done with, or are we going to continue to promote the myth that there's a gay gene out there?
Well, I believe the media will, the left will, Jim, because why do they do it? Because they want to take responsibility away from people practicing homosexuality. Homosexual activists, and often their friends and allies, are desperate to rationalize their sin. That's what it comes down to. And the gay gene was one of the most effective tools they had. And, Jim, I guarantee you, if you went out to, let's say, the University of Milwaukee and took a poll of students, you'd find that probably upwards of 75-80% believe that people are born gay. If you went to the wider public, to adults, say, you know, downtown Chicago, you'd have at least half the public saying that, oh, yeah, I think they're born that way. Or inherently homosexual. And this is just ridiculous, but it shows how propaganda works. But, Jim, another aspect of the study, and I believe only a few select conservative media reported it, is this means people can change.
Yes.
Of course, you can change. And we know people can change because you've interviewed them. I've talked to so many of people who've overcome homosexual desires in their life, left that sin behind, and this is very significant for that hopeful message.
Indeed. People can change, and what this does, Peter, it blows a hole in the argument of those who are trying to push the ban on so-called conversion therapy.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because the left, and especially the homosexual transgender lobby, treats these kids like, number one, they're their kids, and the parents, they have nothing to do with it. But they treat the kids like they are inherently, which is a fancy way of saying innately, by their very fabric, quote-unquote gay or transgender. Now they're saying pansexual, Jim, and the list of perversions keeps going on, but they treat it like this is who they are. And they use that phrase all the time, who you are, when in actuality, this is just about a sexual perversion, gender confusion, which becomes a habit, which becomes part of a person's behavior. But the good news is, especially through Jesus Christ, you can walk away from this sin. You can overcome it, as so many people, like my friend Stephen Black, like Charlene Cothran, so many people, Walt Heyer, who have overcome either homosexuality or transgenderism in their life, and there is no gay gene.
Peter LaBarber with us here today from Americans for Truth about homosexuality. Can I underscore the word truth? Because, folks, what's coming forth is this spin that it's still somehow genetically all comes together, when, in fact, the studies show just opposite. But you never know that from some of the media reports and some of those involved in the study itself. Peter, there's another issue.
Jim, can I say one more thing
sure.
on this?
Go ahead.
Really, really quick. I think the New York Times quoted Dean Hamer. Dean Hamer was one of these guys who claimed to find genetic homosexuality, could not replicate his own study. Remember that one? I think that was like 10, 15 years ago. The New York Times quoted him as if he was a serious genetic researcher, even though he's now a pro-homosexual filmmaker. He's an open homosexual. And I had a situation with this man, Dean Hamer, where just because I was reporting on one of his speeches in Maryland, he started yelling at me and calling me a stalker and lying about me? I mean, this just illustrates how tendentious this research has been. This has been all about normalizing homosexuality, pushed by gay activists, but in this case, it backfired.
We're calling today's program The Exploitation of the LGBT Agenda. And there is another story, Peter, and I know this hits home for you, and it's this Down Syndrome drag show. It was called Drag Syndrome in Grand Rapids, Michigan this past weekend. According to Wood TV, the Saturday performance was sold out. They held another on Sunday. In my opinion, Peter, this was the exploiting of individuals with Down Syndrome or other disabilities at Wealthy Theater.
Yeah, Jim, this one really, really just hurts my heart tremendously, because I have a younger brother with Downs, and he has been the greatest blessing for our family. There's an innocence. There's just a special quality among Downs kids growing up, and then Downs adults, and to see them manipulated and exploited to advance this perverse gender bending agenda makes me ill, and it is so frustrating that this movement is now folding in mentally handicapped, disabled people as part of their so-called diversity fabric, and they're literally exploiting them to push their gender confusion and their perversion agenda.
Well, Peter, what's interesting is that according to a report I saw on LifeSiteNews.com, the ACLU has actually filed a civil rights complaint with the state of Michigan against Peter Meyer. He's a Republican congressional candidate running for office who canceled this show, originally scheduled to be on property that he owns in Grand Rapids. But he, too, said it felt like exploitation of the differently abled. The ACLU alleges this candidate discriminated based on the disabilities and sex of the person participating in the drag show.
Yeah, Jim, and our everybody should call Peter Meyer and thank him for what he did. What happened was he started hearing from people who, like myself, who are related to people with Downs, or other people who just cared and saw the terrible exploitation of this so-called drag syndrome, and they called him and they said, can you stop this? And to his credit, he stopped it. He said it was exploitation. He said you should always err on the side of the vulnerable rather than exploiting the vulnerable, which is what this does. And this just shows the fact that the ACLU would try to file a lawsuit over this shows how out of touch this far-left organization is with the American people and just goodness and decency.
The issue took place in Grand Rapids this past weekend, and Peter, it's not only him, but many believe that this was an exploitation, and that is something that we just cannot tolerate, is the exploitation of others in order to advance a perverse activity.
Yes, and Jim, let's also say that we shouldn't be surprised by this. Because if the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer movement, and they call themselves queer, if they can promote homosexuality and cross-dressing and transsexuality to innocent toddlers through these drag queen story hours and the K-12 programs pushed by homosexual activist organizations like GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, and Human Rights Campaign, they're all pushing homosexuality and gender rebellion, gender confusion on the youngest of children. If they can violate their innocence, of course they don't see a problem in violating the innocence and the goodness of these Downs adults.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break. Peter LaBarbera is with us today. We're going to look at further aspects of exploitation that's taking place. It's happening among youth. It's happening among adults. It's happening within the media. Back with more in just a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how fast did the animals migrate away from Ararat after Noah's flood?
Chris, the Bible tells us that after the flood, God commanded the animals to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And that they did, migrating to fill the earth. There are some modern-day examples of rapid animal spreadings, several coming from the island continent of Australia, which until recently had no mammals. Now rabbits are nearly epidemic. Another example would be a particular kind of toad that was introduced in Australia back in the 1930s, and then just 10 years later was observed over 1,000 miles away. Surely the biblical concept of migration to fill the earth is not only possible, but quite plausible. Besides that, it's true. because we're told about it back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Our guest today, Peter LaBarbera. He's returning president of the Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. Peter, before we continue on talking about this exploitation of the LGBT agenda, give us a word about your organization.
Yeah, Jim, we've been fighting the LGBTQ lobby for many, many years, I'm coming up on 30 years, Jim. But we basically try to give the information that the media ignores, and now the media and the Democratic Party have become part of the homosexual transgender lobby, and so we fight that with information.
And your website?
Americans for Truth, all written out, americansfortruth.org, and also .com works as well.
Okay. And folks, you can, Peter does comment and brings to light many issues that are going on as it relates to this matter. And Peter, let's hit another issue right away, because it was announced here just recently from the Human Rights Campaign late last week, along with CNN, that they're, and I called it another area of exploiting the American public, but it's October the 10th, on the eve of National Coming Out Day. Next month, we have CNN and the LGBT activist group Human Rights Campaign holding a town hall marathon, especially for the 2020 Democratic presidential field, to discuss issues pertaining to homosexuality and transgenderism. They're saying that this is going to be the largest such event ever dealing with the LGBTQ community. And being broadcast over a cable network, evidently, as this is to be taking place in Los Angeles.
Yeah, Jim, I guess, boy, if anybody doubted that the Democratic Party and the media are part and parcel of the homosexual, transgender, bisexual, queer movement, I mean, they can't doubt it anymore. This is a whole show, and that's going to be geared to it, just like they just did on climate change, Jim.
Yeah,
only this
yeah.
will probably be even more radical, or is just on a different area as radical as that one. And think about it, Jim. We know what's not going to be asked on this. Do you think they're going to ask, for example, when they start shilling for the Equality Act, do you think we're going to get a serious discussion of how the Equality Act would negate people's religious freedom, their right to their freedom to be moral and to resist, for example, homosexual so-called marriages, or resist this fanatical transgender movement? No, this is going to be all about cheerleading for the LGBTQ movement.
Well, Peter, speaking of that, and folks, you can just rest assured and plan ahead that when this event is going on, the media as a whole is going to be splashing all these clips and everything as to how one is going to outdo the other on advancing LGBTQ, exploiting the American public on this issue, or exploiting children in the schools, or exploiting the movie screens, or whatever it may be. Peter, you brought up the Equality Act, which we know has passed the House. It's pending in the Senate. No action in the Senate, for which I personally am very thankful for. But what we did see happen just last, September 5, a press release from the 24th Navajo Nation Council, the Office of the Speaker, where they have come out now to give their endorsement of Senate Bill 788, the so-called Equality Act. And they say in here that the Navajo Nation, for respect for LGBTQ people, finds that it is the Navajo Nation's best interest to support U.S. Senate Bill 788 as a step in allowing LGBTQ communities, including our two-spirit LGBTQ communities, the freedom from discrimination, protection from injurious practices, and the full pursuit of happiness as citizens. The Navajo Nation Council now endorsing the so-called Equality Act.
Yeah, I don't know what the moral-minded Navajo are going to say about this. I mean, the interesting thing about the Equality Act is how little discussion, I think, except outside of conservative circles, has been into how it specifically in the bill negates religious freedom. In other words, it says this Equality Act will supersede the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which was a law passed to strengthen our First Amendment protections. Now, when you're saying that the homosexual movement or the transgender movement or that whole area of sexual and gender confusion trumps promoting that, trumps our religious and First Amendment freedom to oppose it, that's very dangerous legislation. But it has not gotten any serious so-called mainstream media coverage, and I doubt we will see that at the at this event in Los Angeles, Jim. I think you're absolutely right. The Democrats will be going trying to one-up each other, and I don't know how they do it, because every single one of them supports the Equality Act, I believe. Now, the only interesting one is Tulsi Gabbard, whose father was Mike Gabbard, a pro-family activist who I used to work with out in Hawaii. She at least strongly says she defends religious freedom, but somebody needs to ask her, well, Ms. Gabbard, if that's the case, how do you reconcile supporting a bill which negates religious freedom because you're trying to support the homosexual movement, and yet you still say you defend religious freedom?
Yeah, exactly. And ladies and gentlemen, I would like to refer you back to a recent program that I did with Attorney Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel, who outlined not only is there the Equality Act, but you've got different aspects of the Equality Act that they're seeking to put in other pieces of legislation, such as, and we went into detail, like the Customer Non-Discrimination Act opens all restrooms, locker rooms, dressing rooms to anyone who claims to be the gender listed on the facility door. I mean, that's for all business establishments, and it victimizes churches as well. That's H.R. 2687. There is the Stronger Abuse Prevention Treatment Act, H.R. 2480. We talked about all these appropriation bills that they're slipping in provisions from the Equality Act that actually all negate the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And that's really what the target is here, Peter. The target is churches. The target is Christian ministries.
Right, and two things. One is Pete Buttigieg. This will be a huge commercial for Pete Buttigieg. I'm talking about the LGBTQ so-called debate with the Democrats. But also, let's go back, Jim, just really quickly to Peter Meyer. This is what we're talking about. He's a Christian man in a very Christian town, Grand Rapids, who said, no, I don't want to allow the facility that I own to be used to have a grotesque event called Drag Syndrome, which employs people with Down syndrome in this mockery of traditional sex roles, gender. It's because that really, remember, it was on your show, Jim, that one of the questioners says, I don't understand if blackface is wrong, why is drag okay when drag is basically men making fun and mocking and caricaturizing women. So this grotesque event, he said, as a Christian, he said, no, I'm not going to allow this in my place, and he's ending up being sued by the ACLU.
Wow. Peter, let's hit another issue of exploitation that's going on, and it really is amongst our youth. It's the exploitation of youth. Peter, you just brought to my attention a New York Times piece that just ran over this weekend on the rising drag stars of America, focusing on tweens.
Yeah. It just gets worse and worse, Jim, and it seems like there's no boundaries to where the LGBTQ movement will not go, and its media cheerleaders. Remember, the media is part of the LGBTQ movement. So this article was really something. I mean, it's basically lauding these, whatever it is, I think like 100 of these so-called drag kids. These are boys that the mothers mostly, but the parents are allowing them to be exploited and to be doing drag acts as children. Now, this includes in one case, I think it was, Jim, wasn't it a homosexual bar where the drag kid was performing?
Yes.
I think he was like 11 years old or something, performing, and people were throwing dollar bills at him from a gay nightclub.
Yep.
I mean, this is the type of exploitation really mental abuse. This is child abuse at an emotional and mental level that's being tolerated, but not just tolerated. Now it's being promoted by mainstream media organs like the New York Times.
Peter, another issue of this exploitation of children, and it is hitting many as they have just started the school year. This was on WND.com, published September 7th. And here we have the headline, teacher orders students to identify sexuality and the gender of parents. It's a North Carolina teacher and her school district are under fire after she ordered students to do a diversity inventory in which they publicly identified their sexuality, gender, religion, ability, and socioeconomic class, and that of their fellow students, teachers, parents, and even their doctor. This is Heritage High School, Wake County, North Carolina. The controversy erupted when a Melissa Wilson high school English teacher ordered students to take the inventory. The organization explained students were asked to stand up and walk toward posters in different areas of the room that correlated with their sexual identities. Students were traumatized. Some were even brought to tears. One parent said that her student had been experiencing PTSD from this incident. Another student didn't attend school on Friday and is so scared to return to Wilson's classroom environment that they told their parents they hoped the hurricane would distract everyone from the incident. Another parent's child FaceTimed them in the middle of the classroom to tell them how uncomfortable they were with this assignment. The organization said when the students expressed discomfort, the teacher's response was to tell them it was all right because she used to be Catholic and is now a bisexual atheist. Peter, this is the exploitation of kids in the classroom.
Yeah, this is the one that needs the lawsuit, Jen. I hope this this school is sued. But you know, what's clear now is that the liberal pro-LGBTQ movement in our culture they're bad for kids. I mean, it's bad for schools. It's exploiting kids. It's destroying their innocence. It's corrupting them. It's promoting sexual immorality and dangerous sexual behaviors because homosexual behavior, for example, especially between males, is extremely high risk. And this is what the left is doing, and they're doing it all in the name of tolerance and this ideology, which turns out to be a very harmful ideology. And we hope that that when the American public has a chance, they will reject this either at the ballot box or wherever they can to stop this abuse of children.
Peter, another area of exploitation is happening in our prison system, and there was the story that came out, Washington Post, August 27th, but it was a decision that came out from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit for the first time that an appeals court has ordered a state to pay for the procedure of gender confirmation surgery. And this is an individual, well, within the Idaho prison system.
Yeah, I just don't believe taxpayers should ever have to subsidize these grotesque body disfiguring operations, which are against nature and against God. I mean, nature is God. We're talking about operations we can't even discuss on this radio show, much less in our families, Jim. It's so disgusting, and yet we're asking the taxpayers to subsidize that because somebody is gender confused.
Peter LaBarber is with us here today on Crosstalk, and we're talking about such exploitation that's going on. But we'd like to open our phone lines today as well to hear what you have to say on this issue, ladies and gentlemen. Our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. I mean, we are seeing it happen through the media. We're seeing it happen through this event in Grand Rapids, Michigan, the Down Syndrome drag show called Drag Syndrome. We're seeing the exploitation taking place of youth. We're seeing it happening within the schools. We're seeing that happen of the drag kids and the performances going on. Again, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Back in just a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Nearly 90% of Christian children attend a public school. Filmmaker Colin Gunn, a homeschool father of seven, went on the field trip of a lifetime. Driving an old school bus, Colin and his family traveled across the nation, exploring the origins and social impact of public school education to discover if children are morally and physically safe, if public schools are religiously neutral, and should Christians try to be salt and light in secular schools. 102 minutes in length, it's an impactful message. In the companion book, Indoctrination, some 18 writers come together to look at how the educational system is actively at work to alter your child's moral values, worldview, and religious beliefs. It explores the biblical principles regarding education and who is ultimately responsible for our children's future. The Indoctrination DVD is available for a donation of $22. The book is available for a donation of $18. Or you can obtain both for a donation of $35. To obtain yours, call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Oh, you hear the word tolerance, but those that are espousing the LGBTQ agenda, guess what, folks? They are totally intolerant of biblical Christianity. And in case you hadn't heard this story, as CNSNews.com pointed out, Vice President Mike Pence recently visited Iceland. And when he arrived there, they got buildings all over flying the gay rainbow flags, is what the story says. And it's not a rainbow, but the homosexual pride flag. Their president even had a homosexual wristband, shook his hand. And they pointed out how Pence is an evangelical Christian that opposes homosexual marriage. But you even have the Hill pointed out that the meetings were to be held at this IT company, the company that they flew a row of gay rainbow flags, is what it says, in front of their building, prominently visible to the public and the vice president. Another company flags had been replaced, and they took down the company flags and instead put up the pride flags. Peter, is such an in-your-face action on the part of Iceland when Vice President Pence went there?
Yeah, I really feel sorry for Mike Pence, for the vice president. And once I went out to defend him because of these ridiculous attacks. But he's being used as the punching bag by LGBTQ, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer activists. And it's just sad. And I think we all need to pray for Mike Pence. And I think conservatives need to meet with him. Because I'm wondering, you know, can a man stand up to all this political abuse, which is what it is. It's the same thing Pete Buttigieg did to him. Remember, Mayor Pete, so called. He made it seem like Pence hated him or something. Or he puffed. He built this whole case that Trump was that Mike Pence was hateful to him or somehow was not good to him, whereas Pence just treated him like any other mayor. And so it's very clear that part of the Saul Alinsky strategy on Mike Pence is to use him as the symbol of supposed Christian hate, when in actuality, Mike Pence is just a nice guy, he's a good Christian, and I just hope he doesn't wither under this constant barrage of abuse and attacks from the LGBTQ movement.
Let's go to Mark calling in from Missouri. Mark, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim. I didn't hear you all comment on this particular facet of the gay gene. So I wanted to kind of pose a question, and that would be that evidence that it doesn't exist, wouldn't it be evidence that it doesn't exist when identical twins are born and they're not both homosexual? In other words, I don't hear people saying this, but if there's a gay gene, then if there are identical twins, they would both have to be homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I mean, that's kind of my question to you all. Does that give evidence that it can't exist? Because if it did exist, identical twins would both always have to be homosexual if one of them were homosexual.
Peter?
Yes, I think, and it has been brought up by some very good people. There's a guy who wrote a book called My Genes Made Me Do It, who is one of the best, and I'm sorry, Jim, I cannot remember his name right now, but he's from New Zealand, and it's a great refutation of all this. And, of course, that makes sense, what you're saying, and yet that was attempted to be one of the bases by which they promoted this gay gene theory. And, you know, the same goes for the other things that were disproven. That one, ultimately, they did further study, and they found, like you said, this discordance among identical twins, which did not match the theory. Same thing for Dean Hamer's research could not be replicated. There was a guy named Simon LeVay who tried to say the brains of homosexual men were different than other people. That wasn't replicated. On and on it goes, and yet here we are, Jim, in this culture where at least half the public still believes, I'm sure if you were to poll it, that people are born gay.
I believe it was Neil and Breyer Whitehead that wrote that book, My Genes Made Me Do It.
I highly recommend their resources. Mm. They've really debunked a lot of this garbage.
Wow. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Don is calling from Pensacola, Florida. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you so much for having Peter on, Jim. And I had 2 points today that I wanted to talk about. First of all, their acronym, LGBTQ, should be changed to S-I-N-N-E-R, or S for the plural. I noticed in the acronym that the first letter is left, as in liberal, as in lesbian, and the gay letter is second. Women ahead of men there. Well, my second point, and this is a serious thing, I believe this is the most dangerous sin in America and probably the world, is this sin of immorality and accusing God, a holy God, who makes someone perverse.
Don, we lost you there. Hello, Don.
Hello? Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, we lost you for a moment.
Okay. Yeah, I lost my job. I mentioned this one time before on Crosstalk. Giving my biblical opinion on the homosexuals coming here to Pensacola, Florida. And I was just talking to a girl at work who was in the car with me about the homosexuals, and this guy in the back seat was offended by it, and he wouldn't even admit if he was gay or not. They're so sneaky, Jim and Peter.
Okay.
Yeah, can I say something to one of your points about the holy God? I think before you kind of got cut off there or the transmission, but this is very interesting. You've got Pete Buttigieg, who now has done this also for abortion, and he's one thing I've noticed, Jim, is that a lot of even the conservative commentators are a lot more willing to criticize Mayor Pete Buttigieg for his apostasy on abortion, for his promotion of abortion, than they are for his open homosexuality, which I think is instructive. But he has done the same thing now on abortion, but on homosexuality, he's saying that this is God made him this way. He is imputing the character of God to justify his sin. Mm-hmm. He's in a very, very dangerous place, and unless he repents and turns his life around, he is in for a big surprise on Judgment Day. And I tweeted that, Jim, because it's one thing sinning, which is bad enough, but it's quite another saying that God is responsible for my sin when God hates sin and he sent his son to die for us to pay the price for our sin. And yet that's what Peter Buttigieg is doing, and so many so-called progressive Christians are doing the same.
Yeah, thank you, Don, for the call. And Peter, let's go back. Let's just go back to the garden, because that's where this blame game began. Genesis 3, verse 12, as God approached him about taking of the fruit that they were not to eat, and the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." I mean, that was the blame game goes on, and that's what Mayor Pete is also doing in this as well.
And he sure owes God an apology. And yet, I have the feeling this Democratic debate, he will be the star at this Democrat LGBTQ debate in Los Angeles.
Scott is calling from Holman, Wisconsin. Scott, you're on the air.
Hi, brothers. This is Scott. I lived in Iceland back in the 90s, and back then, Iceland was 25% Christian, and none of this perverted filth would have been tolerated at all. The Icelanders would not have tolerated this. Well, I was just, less than a month ago, I was just there for 10 days and 10 nights, and I stayed just northeast of Reykjavik in Mosfellsbyer, and we went to both the Kringlen Mall and the Smáralind Mall, and no matter where you went in that mall, there were rainbow flags stuck everywhere.
Wow.
I mean, the mannequins with clothing on them, they stuck flags in them. You went into the Hallmark card shops and stuff, there was rainbow flags. You went down the streets of Reykjavik, and they had a painted rainbow colors, the zebra crossings, rainbow colors. Guys were standing around outside in fishnet stockings with their bum hanging out and with black leather jackets. Mm. I mean, it was just everywhere, and it was in your face, and it was disgusting.
Yeah,
it's become a religious cult of the left.
It
this
has.
Nonstop promotion of homosexuality is cultic.
Mm-hmm.
Homosexuals had just rescued them from an attack from space aliens or something, like, all hail the conquering heroes,
well,
you know.
Scott, thank you for the call.
One more thing, Jim. Sorry to take away time from the callers, but, you know, the thing with the flags you were saying to the caller, another thing that happened to Pence was when he moved temporarily to D.C. Remember, before he moved into the vice presidential mansion, they were surrounding him. The neighbors, the liberal neighbors, were pro-homosexual, were flying rainbow flags in his temporary neighborhood there in D.C. And it's just kind of like, where did this fanaticism come from?
Yeah, thank you for the call here, Scott. And we just saw it with the, I believe it was the first Chick-fil-A opening in a city in Canada, and they had those homosexual activists who joined forces with animal rights groups. They even had a die-in on the sidewalk holding their pride flags and so forth there. But no matter what they did, that line kept going and going and going and around the bend in the corner and had no effect. But nonetheless, the intolerance, you know, even for people to go buy a chicken sandwich.
Yeah, it's beyond intolerance now, Jim. It's almost oppressive. It is oppressive when this mob mentality, and when you start doing, like you mentioned earlier, when you start proposing legislation and passing it to ban kids from even pursuing pro-heterosexual therapy, which would include kids who were molested by homosexual adults, that's very dangerous.
We're going next to Miami, Florida. Courtney, you're on the air.
God bless you, and God bless all you parents out there with children. Raise them in the Lord. And this I want to say, as far as that so-called sodomite gay gene, and that's exactly what it is, a sodomite. There ain't no such thing as that. God don't make a mistake. He only made two. That's a man and a woman.
Yeah.
All that other stuff is just mocking God. And as far as that, them calling that a rainbow flag, saints, come on, let's call it what it is, a sodomite flag. Let's stop helping them with them names. And it just makes me mad to hear what they're doing to kids. And you parents that's raising your kids to be sodomites, don't say nothing if God don't save them, that you bust hell wide open. And I'm going to say it just that way, because God, in the Bible here, I was just reading it, and just a fast one, because I'm going to get off so somebody else can call. But in 1 Kings, the 22nd, what Jehoshaphat did on the 46th verse, and the remnant of the sodomites, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land. It's against God. And the only reason you see one child born that's raised all right and the other child to become a sodomite is because an unclean spirit has entered into his soul. Satan's time is short, so he's trying to take every soul he can to hell. Raise your kids, saints. Please raise your kids. And thank you, Jim, for that grandmother's thing that you had the other day. That blessed my soul, brother. God bless you now.
Thank you, Courtney. Peter?
Yes, I think the key part there is it's against God, and yet we see it being promoted everywhere. And, Jim, we even see conservatives afraid to criticize homosexuality. Now, conservatives, and even some Christians, now we see the nefarious rise of so-called gay Christianity. The caller is correct. There is something that is just terribly askew in the West, that promoting homosexuality, which was once taboo, has become the greatest fad among so many people, and I think it's a sign of the godlessness in Western culture.
Peter LaBarbera with us. We have a quick one-minute break. Alex, stay on the line, and Beth and Keith, we'll be back to your calls in just a moment. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. Our guest today, Peter LaBarbera, his website, AmericansForTruth.org. Back in just a minute.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. This is the week we remember those who lost their lives in the tragic attacks of 9/11. Terrorists attacked America, but most Americans don't know who was behind the attack. Yes, they might know that the Saudi hijackers were indeed from Saudi Arabia. But do they know that Iran was also involved? Do they know that the hijackers received training on flight simulators in Iran? Do they know that a special mark was put on their passport so that when they were moving in and out of Iran, their passports would not be stamped? Thus, when they went to the American embassy in Saudi Arabia to get passports verified into the U.S., no such stamp showed up. A federal judge has ruled that Iran owes the 9/11 families millions of dollars for their participation in the terrorist attacks. And yet, Americans to this day don't realize Islam was largely behind it, and that means Saudi Arabia and Iran.
Okay, we're going right back to the phone lines. Peter LaBarber is our guest, and holding the longest has been Alex in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Alex, you're on the air.
Yes, sir, brother. Thank you for taking my call again. I just had a question where I could obtain some legal information. So I work at a high school, and for the past 2 years, they had a drag competition on public school property.
Wow.
I mentioned it to my union, and I haven't seen no follow-up, and I would imagine there's some rules they're breaking, especially with dress code. I mean, there's half-naked minors walking around, and I just want to see what I could do about that. I called in the past 2 years and plan on doing it this year as well.
You know, Alex, I would suggest you give a call to Matt Staver at Liberty Council. Matt Staver. You call Liberty Council, and they'll take down the information. But Matt has been with us on several programs here on Crosstalk. But Liberty Council, they're based in Orlando, and their number is 407-875-1776. And certainly they know the rights of students as well as teachers, parents on public school campuses, and they might be a good voice to speak with.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Could you also send me an email at info@americansfortruth.org and keep me informed on that? That's really an abuse of a school's authority.
Info@americansfortruth.org. For truth.
Yeah. info@americansfortruth.org.
Yes, sir. Thank you, brothers. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Alex. Also, by the way, Pacific Justice Institute is another good group there. They're on the western side of the U.S. there as well. Beth in West Allis, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
You know, back in the early 90s, they had the Year of the Woman. And ever since that, I've seen the demeaning and debasing of men in our culture. Every chance they get, they make them out to be some kind of buffoon on these sitcoms or some kind of ignoramus, you know, in commercials. They do everything they can to feminize them, get into your feminine sides, you know. And I just think this whole propaganda to diminish the men in our society is why we have what we have now. Because nobody's standing up to these people. We need such strong men to be standing up, being men, not this wishy-washy metrosexual business or whatever they are now, which is you can't even tell them one from the other anymore. They're all so feminized.
Hmm. Peter?
I think that's a great point. And look at the New York Times, you know, celebrating this destruction of innocence. They're celebrating boys whose moms and dads are allowing them to be sexualized in the sense that they perform at these drag clubs. The whole drag culture is nothing but a mockery. And this is celebrated in the New York Times. And they're pushing gender confusion wherever they can. We're allowing the feminization of men intentionally and the mockery of women, because that's what drag is. But this is what the left does through the media and now the Democratic Party. You don't see Democrats speaking out against drag queen story hours that are happening in libraries across the country. This is what the left does.
Thank you, Beth. And again, just on a recent News Roundup program, too, I ran an article just verifying the very things you were talking about, how the big push, we don't need men anymore in our society. So very much that is going on while the feminization is taking place as well. Thanks for the comment. We're going to Keith next in Wisconsin Rapids. You're on the air, Keith.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to read from the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 24 through 26. This is what it says. Because men are such fools, God has given them over to do the filthy things their hearts desire, and they do shameful things with each other. They exchange the truth about God for a lie. They worship and serve what God has created instead of the Creator himself, who is to be praised forever. Amen. Because men do this, God has given them over to shameful passions. Even the women pervert the natural use of their sex by unnatural acts. In the same way, the men give up natural sexual relations with women and burn with passion for each other. Men do shameful things with each other, and as a result, they themselves are punished as they deserve for their wrongdoing. Mm. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call here today. And let me get Maxine in Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, hi, Jim. I just wanted to share, I just found out this last week that my 13-year-old granddaughter, a biracial young lady, is in a foster home in another community, and she has joined the boys' football team. And I voiced a concern that I've asked a social worker if she's going to be in the boys' locker room, and I haven't heard back yet. Mm. So these things happen even in southwest Wisconsin. Thank you.
Thank you, Maxine. And Peter, this is something that we are finding happening. It's proliferating in schools. I mean, we have this whole transgender competition going on now, men identifying as women and taking over in women's sports. But the other aspect of what's happening in the locker rooms and showers of schools all across the nation is very much at the heart of what this caller was speaking of as well.
Yeah, much of it is a direct assault on women and girls. I mean, I have sons and daughters, and the idea that boys who are naturally stronger, just because of the way God made us, are in competition just because they decide that they want to be called girls, because they're, of course, not really girls, and then they're allowed to participate in these high-level competitions and then win and then get trophies and then thus denying girls opportunities for scholarships is criminal. And now, Jim, I'll be anxious to see whether that is discussed at this Democratic LGBTQ confab. Mm. Or will they discuss how this abuses girls in competition, this transgender agenda?
Yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see, Peter, but some parts of this are conveniently left out, we see in the debates on this issue that's happened for quite some time. Peter, we've got 30 seconds. What do you want to leave with the listeners today?
Well, I think we just have to stand with the truth. Keep telling the truth. In a culture of lies, the truth goes very, very far. You can get information on my website, americansfortruth.org, but whatever you do, don't give in to the zeitgeist. Stay strong, stay biblical, and keep telling the stories of people, men and women, who've overcome from homosexual sin, because there are many, many of them.
Peter, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Jim. God bless.
Bye-bye. Peter LaBarbera with us. Again, the website, americansfortruth.com. Yes, or americansfortruth.org. Either or will get you there. But certainly we find that there is much exploitation that is taking place. But though the media tries to spin it through this most comprehensive study ever, nearly a 500,000 individuals, no gay gene has been found. And certainly they have spun it to make it say, well, there are many genetic things at hand. But don't believe a lie, folks. We've fallen for that for too long. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.